The question was asked, when we speak about the soul, and then we speak about life, brain, where does one end, where does one begin? So that's obviously a slightly difficult question, but let's begin with a few understandings with regards to the soul, the neshama, and then I think that will automatically lead us to understanding many of the delineations. So the neshama is always alive. The neshama never dies. When a person dies, his neshama moves on. But the neshama, the soul, is always alive. So that spiritual part of the human being is the neshama. That spiritual, if you'd call it the spiritual battery, that gives life, that causes the mind to work and the heart to work and everything else. What keeps the whole body running is the neshama. It's true, the heart's pumping the blood. But what gives that energy that the heart pumps the blood? So you'll say, well, I ate and the body decomposed it and then... Right, but what makes all that run? What's the battery behind it all? So that's the neshama. And the neshama is always awake. And the neshama is always watching and recording everything that's going on. Now, the mind is one of the tools the neshama uses. It's true that we describe sometimes neshama shebimochi, the neshama in my mind. But technically, the mind is physical, and the mind is working physically off of the energy of the neshama, the life that the neshama gives it. So you'll say, when I perceive something, am I perceiving it with my mind or my neshama? So the answer is both. We work with both. Let's take a few examples. When you look around the room, when you see things, you're using your mind. But that life, which perceives things also, is the neshama. You say every morning, Elokai neshama shenatata bito rahi, God, the soul you put in me. Who's doing the talking? What does that mean, in me? Isn't it the soul doing the talking? Oh no, it's the soul and the body. The soul and the mind and the body. So the soul and the mind and the body say about the soul which you put in me. So we have that external aspect. We have within the mind the capacity to perceive. We have the capacity to imagine. And then there's a whole other area called prophecy. What happens when you see prophecy? Is that my imagination? Is that my perception? No. The neshama sees it. Your eyes don't see it. So the Talmud tells us an interesting line. The Talmud in Tractate Megillah says, you're standing in a place, suddenly you're scared. And there's no logical reason you should be scared. So you look around and you try to figure out, what am I scared of? So the Talmud says that even though you don't perceive what you're scared of, your neshama perceives a threat. So beware. So that means there's a level of perception called the neshama perceiving. You understand, a person can become a schizophrenic with this, right? I don't see a danger here, but my soul says there's a danger here. A person can take that way out of whack. But when a person's normal, so then yes, there are levels of perception. And so there are spiritual concepts which the neshama can perceive. Yes, we synthesize things through our mind. But the mind, so to speak, is the tool of the soul, just like the mouth is the tool of the mind. I'm not sure we can always delineate, when is it my neshama and when is it my mind?
Why would there be a difference?
Because the neshama is pure. Our neshama doesn't desire things that are impure.
So does the mind think on its own in a way without the soul?
To some degree, yes. To some degree, the mind is a part of the body. So it's like your neshama is always yelling and saying, I want to do what's right. And your mind and your body doesn't always want to do what's right. You know, your body says you're hungry. It's the end of the fast. You look at your watch and you say, I got 3 minutes. Then you start telling yourself, maybe my watch is off. Now, is that the neshama talking?
But that's sort of the confusing part, is the same voice that says, your watch is wrong, is the same. It doesn't sound any different or louder than the other voice which is saying, of course it's not wrong. But the neshama voice, they both sound like they're in your head.
Right.
So they're both different.
Yeah. I think there's a danger in this. Sometimes in schools they teach kids about Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Good inclination, bad inclination. And that's not always a good way to develop a person's personality. Sometimes if a person starts thinking, he's talking to me this way and he's talking to me that way, it's not a good way to develop. Sometimes it gives a person a tool. A person can say, that's my Yetzirah. He can say, that's not what I want to do. That's not who I want to be. But sometimes it's not so good for children when you describe it to them that way. You know, this is, you're all mature adults, so I could tell you this, but to a child, I'm not sure I would express it that way.
Should I say to them not express it that way? Because my daughter expressed it exactly this way too.
I wouldn't make an issue of it. It'll pass. You have to see if it's a system, or they happen to mention to the children, Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra. Right, so sometimes the ganim tell children that. It's your Yetzer Ra talking. It's just like the ganim will conceptualize. They'll tell them, you do a mitzvah, you put another brick on the temple. So I had children who would come to me and tell me, Abba, did I put another brick now? They'd set the table for Shabbos and say, did I put another brick now? So fine. If that conceptualization helps them, it's not bad. For a certain age, for a certain time. But if all my mitzvahs are always thinking about bricks, at some point bricks aren't so interesting. Should be more depth to it. Right, so I don't think at the age of 3.5 I'd make an issue of it. Wait and see. Wait and see where the gun's going with it. So on this point, yeah. Yes.
So a lot of neurologists nowadays are saying, as time goes on, we're finding more and more with which part of the brain says this, and if we're out every part of the brain, we can find a point right there, you wanted that, it came from right there, and all these sort of things. So they seem to be, they claim to be disproven. There's huge gaps still, but they still claim to be able to point to a lot of the sort of all those things are able to point to, not the soul, or like memory. After you die, apparently you still remember your whole life at some point, the soul that leaves. But they can point to that part of the brain is where the memory is. So is there like two memories, I guess?
Why not? There's the physical storage of the memory. And there's the spiritual, that the neshama sees everything. That doesn't mean that that the mind doesn't also perceive. You know, when I was a kid, they had this science show where they showed how they're able to take a dead dog and take electrodes and poke different parts of its brain, and it would do different things. It would wag a foot, it would bark. So fine, no one's arguing that the system works. We said the mind definitely controls parts of the system, and the mind will decide which functions happen. It's fine. It doesn't bother us. And the fact that the mind will store the memory for the body, fine. I would just add that I don't know what research you're reading up on, but if you're investing time in it, you should also know that there's a tremendous amount of research right now into free will. And research points to free will, meaning in the last decade, they've discovered that free will is a tremendous factor in self-development. Free will, not the way these scientists want to say that it's all defined based upon what's happening in your mind, but they have found that in order to rehabilitate someone, if you have people who have anger issues and all kinds of social issues, they've found that when you teach people how to use free will and to get accustomed to using free will, so then even though they're using their free will in a totally different aspect of their lives, then they can develop that habit of using their free will to make the correct choices, which runs a little bit contra to the theories you're presenting. I'm saying, but okay, whatever. There's a lot of research. I don't think we always have to get scared or excited just because they're researching something.